High School Slumber Party is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For all things Cage Club related, head on over to cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me. School is out and it's Friday night.
Bragger tries to put me down and says his school is great. I tell him right away, now what's the matter, buddy? Ain't you heard of my school? It's number one in the state.
Hey, take it away! Get that
so
ball and fight!
To your school.
Welcome, football players, cheerleaders, and how about a special shout-out to those football players wanting to be cheerleaders? I was going to say pretending, but that doesn't really happen in this film. This is another special Monday edition of High School Slumber Party, a cheer Monday edition. Of course, this is High School Slumber Party, the podcast where me and some friends look back at our teenage years through the lens of some iconic high school-centric films. I'm Brian Rodriguez, and the party's at my place this evening. But first, school's still in session, and we have some homework to chat about.
This was your assignment, and I would like to see the results.
First things first, did you listen to our episode on Friday? Yes, that's right. Charlie Talbert was here. Angus himself. And we had such a great interview. Of course, Kate Hudson was there as well. More on her later, FYI. But that was so fun. Honestly, if you're a fan of Angus or you're a fan of this show and you didn't listen to that, please listen to that episode because he just shares so much. I think it's so awesome. And the feedback has been tremendous. You guys are really understanding the whole class participation thing. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. But I've gotten some awesome messages, some really, really awesome feedback, including one that just literally they messaged me as we were recording here. It's from this super cool band called Frontier Folk Nebraska, and they turned me on to their album called Freaks, and they said, you know, there was a lot of inspiration from Angus. And so far I'm listening, I love it. Do me a favor, guys, and check it out this week if you can, because I'm going to be listening to it a lot more this week, and I can't wait to talk about it a little bit more. And yeah, thank you for that recommendation. Well, their own recommendation, Frontier Folk Nebraska. Woo, that's fun. So the album is Freaks, by the way. And once again, thank you, Charlie Talbert, for spilling so much on Angus. I really, really, really appreciate it. I think we all appreciate it out there as slumberers. So question, as it's Cheer Monday, did you do your homework for this week? It was to watch a film called Fired Up. I don't know how many of you are familiar with it, but my guests this week, Kelsey Murray and returning guest Aislinn Addington, were so perfect because Kelsey's an ex-cheerleader and Aislinn might be one of the only people who really, really, really loves this film. Not that it was a bad film, but she's certainly the only one I knew who liked it. Ugh, that sounds so bad. There are so many good things to enjoy about this film. There are so many things maybe that don't age well, but you don't have to take my word for it. Lessons from the episode. Damn it, where's that bell when I need it? I just never know when it's going to ring. Anyway, this episode is just, it's a fun one, especially if you've been following along with our Cheer Monday series. See, I told you, I just don't know when it's going to ring. Hey, whoa, come on. The bell doesn't dismiss you. I dismiss you. And again, we might be being homeschooled these days, but I brought the bell home with me. Boom. Anyway, if you've been listening along with our Cheer Monday series, you're going to really, really enjoy this episode. And I think this film, because it pays homage to a lot of other cheer films. And honestly, whether the movie's good, the movie's bad, or the movie's just okay, I had a blast talking with both Kelsey and Aislinn. So, without further ado, I'm going to leave you a song, not just from the soundtrack. Well, it might be on the soundtrack, I'm not sure. But this is on Dr. Rick's playlist. And that's Lou Bega's Mumbo Number 5. Class dismissed.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mumbo Number 5. Store around the corner. The boys say they want some gin and juice, but I really don't wanna be a buzz like I had last week. I must stay deep, cause talk is cheap. I like Angela, Pamela, Sandra, and Rita. And as I continue, you know they're getting sweeter. So what can I do? I really beg you, my lord. To me, flirting is just like a sport. Anything fly, it's all good. Let me jump in, please sing in the trumpet. A little bit of Monica in my life. A little bit of Erica by my side. A little bit of Rita's all I need. A little bit of Tina's what I see. A little bit of Sandra in the sun. A little bit of Mary all night long. A little bit of Jessica, here I am.
All right, our Cheer Monday series continues here on High School Slumber Party, and it's been a fun one so far, and I'm excited for this one because I actually had never seen this movie before this watch. But before any of that, we introduce ourselves a certain way on High School Slumber Party. And Aislinn, I'm going to ask that you go first because you've been on the show recently and our other guest is a first-timer. And first-timers go through a little bit of the ringer here. So
happy to. My name is Aislinn. I use she, her pronouns. I went to Hellgate High School in Missoula, Montana, and we were the Hellgate Knights.
Hellgate Knights. Love it. So, Kelsey, do you get the how to do it yet? Or?
I do. Yes, I think so.
You never know. I always ask. Some people forget.
I'm a pro at these introductions. All right. Hey, everyone. My name is Kelsey. She, her pronouns. I went to Douglas County High School, and we were the Huskies.
Nice Huskies.
Yes, we definitely stole a logo from Washington. So
I love that, right? Like, there's so many high school teams that just steal a logo, whether it's from pro teams or other colleges. I can't imagine they pay for them, but whatever.
Oh, we definitely didn't.
So, Kelsey, again, since this is your first time, tell me a little bit about your high school experience. What were you like in high school? And what were you into as well? Like, what kind of movies and other kind of whatever stuff?
Great question. So, I was that weird high schooler who was doing, like, popular person activities, but also I was in choir. So it balanced itself out. So I started cheering when I was 10, and I cheered through my junior year in high school. But I was doing choir throughout that. And I was definitely one of those uppity high schoolers who was like, I like indie films. And I listen to classic rock only. Pop is stupid. So I was super annoying.
I love it.
Yeah.
So you mentioned you cheered?
Yes. I started cheering when I was 10. And then the following year, I started cheering competitively for our local cheer group. We cheered for our like peewee football teams. And then also competed. So I cheered with, we went through eighth grade. So I cheered with like 12-year-olds and also 6-year-olds.
Whoa.
So the very first halftime show that I ever performed was set to Lady Marmalade.
Yes.
Again, wait. We were children.
Whoa. With 6-year-olds on
yeah.
the team? Wow. That's an interesting
it's
visual,
a choice.
If you will. Wow.
I don't think people knew French.
My God. Okay. I'm so happy to have a cheerleader on because I don't actually think I had one throughout this whole Cheer Monday series. I guess I don't know many cheerleaders, or at least they won't admit to it. What was your cheer experience like in high school? Was it like we see in the movies? Because that's what I'm getting it from. I think this is the sixth cheerleading movie I've watched this month. Okay. So I'm very curious.
It was, I mean, there were portions of that were very, like, some of the girls were, like, catty and, like, not very nice. And we were very serious about cheerleading. We were at that point. The high school was like so close to being the best in the state. Wow. And so we were all very competitive and very intense. But also the whole idea that cheerleaders are stupid. Most of the squad was actually like either in AP or IB classes. So they were all very intelligent.
But attitudinally, it sort of fits at least this movie in terms of enthusiasm for your sport slash activity.
Absolutely. Bring It On was like our Bible.
Oh,
our whole world. So good. But yeah, attitudinally, like definitely, it was everything. And all the little injuries that they had in the movie. Oh, I felt those.
Oh, no.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait to get into this one. Okay, so the film today is Fired Up from 2009. Like I said, I hadn't seen it. What's your, obviously for the both of you, what's your history with this film? Had you seen it before? And, you know, why'd you decide to come on to talk about it?
This is Iceland. I'm holding my DVD copy. I went to this film in the theater.
Wow.
No.
Oh, yes, I did.
Wow.
And part of my intense nostalgia for the movie, not having been a cheerleader at all, was just the experience of it. I went with my roommate from grad school while we were roommates. We were in the theater with a bunch of 14-year-olds, which was hilarious. And then it was in like an outdoor mall kind of situation in Kansas. And as we were leaving, it was pouring rain, like the most intense rainstorm I've ever been in. We didn't have coats. We didn't have anything, and parked far away. And so it was just like, we started running and then I just started laughing. I was like, there's no point in running. We're already soaking wet. Let's just stroll confidently to the car. But I mean, absolutely soaked to the bone. So I think part of it is I had such a fun night when I first saw this movie that I give it like credit for that. But I was also, I went into it thinking it was just going to be dumb, and it is dumb, but it's also pretty clever. And I still chuckle from time to time. So I sort of love it despite myself, but I have shown it to a lot of people and tried to like, okay, I know the premise is whatever, but just stick with it. It's good. Or I think I've turned like half a dozen people onto it. So when Brian, you said you were going to do this one, I definitely raised my hand pretty quickly because it is a film that I have enjoyed for a long time and am so happy to talk about.
I love hearing that. That's like the it's the best kind of guest you can get, you know, someone who has a special place for this movie. And yeah, no one else was really volunteering, so it's a win-win.
I bet not.
How about you, Kelsey?
All I remember about this movie when it first came out was that my dad thought it was hilarious that the DVD cover said F you.
I thought that's where you were going, because I realized like that's how this movie was promoted, and I have like such similar thoughts about the original promotion of it too. But sorry, continue.
No, that's literally, I was like, all right, it's a movie about cheerleading. He tried to get me to watch it. I was like, no, absolutely not. This is an insult. It wasn't until Iceland had asked me to hop on that I actually like really actually watched it. There were points that I was very much down with this, and the other points I was like, nah, not about this.
Sure. It's a truly mixed bag. But like Jelly Bellies, I feel like there's three or four really solid flavors, but sometimes you have to have a handful that has a couple duds in it.
Ooh, I like that analogy.
What about you, Brian?
It's my first watch. You know, I'm excited to talk about it. I have some moments that I really, really loved, and there's also some moments that were really, really silly. I mean, overall, I think what's like an hour and 20 minutes. Give me a short film like this, and I'm always, not that I'm always like about the length, but it's not like it dragged on too long where I'm like, oh my God, this is like such a waste of time. It definitely wasn't a waste of time. We'll get into some of my favorite moments. Now, every week I read either the back of the DVD, back of the VHS. This is definitely DVD era, so here goes. even though I don't own it, I just found a copy. I'm not, you know, like other people on this podcast. But in this laugh out loud comedy, Ford High star football player Sean Colfax and Nick Brady scheme to ditch football camp so they can spend the summer surrounded by beautiful girls at cheer camp. The guys are having the time of their lives as they use their reputation as quote-unquote sensitive guys to talk the hotties into skinny dipping, cheering naked, and hooking up. But when Sean falls for the gorgeous head cheerleader, who is suspicious of their motives, the players must change their game to prove Sean's intentions before the thrilling cheer competition. Sure, whatever.
Yep. I mean, that is what it is. And I think if the two lead actors didn't have chemistry, if it didn't have, you know, additional kind of fun elements, that would be all it was. And I don't think I would enjoy it as much. But like I said, there's just a couple, I don't know, things that make me enjoy this movie. However, it is quite problematic. And I also, both can be true, right? At the same time.
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah, there are quite a few problematic moments here. So normally the internet is a treasure trove of things, both good and bad, and I could usually find quite a bit of scholarship on a film, especially one made in the last 20 years.
Sure.
This had almost nothing, which was kind of shocking to me. No article about, like, oh, you know how, like, I don't know, humor websites or BuzzFeed kind of things will write, like, you know, fired up 10 years sure. later or whatever. Like, none of that. I was very confused by that. The only notes I really got, and again, except stuff like, oh, where it was filmed and stuff like that, was that it originally was intended to have an R rating.
Oh, okay.
And I guess studio or whatever, someone wanted it to be PG-13, and they had to submit 18 different cuts to get it to PG-13.
And that is why my DVD is so proudly says unrated.
Oh.
And I looked for on my DVD the theatrical version, and it doesn't give you that option.
Hmm. Oh.
So my question to you all is, were there bare breasts in the movie you watched?
My version, there was not. So that's what I was going to ask. Like, okay. I wonder what the differences
are. So mine is likely more problematic than yours.
You'll have to explain. I'm very curious. What was the runtime? Do you know?
Yeah, I think about 140.
140, really?
I can look. No. It's in the 30s.
I mean, that's still like at least 10 more minutes.
Yeah.
Wow. I wonder if it fills any plot holes. Who knows?
Well, we'll see. If I start talking about something, you have no idea what I'm talking about. It's because I've watched the unrated version too many times. And I really do. For all the, you know, Hollywood bigwigs who are listening, it really irritates me when you don't get to choose, because often there's a reason some of that stuff is not in the movie, right?
Yeah.
Like, there are funny moments, but it takes away from the overall film. And so I prefer being able to watch the theatrical version and contrast it with the unrated.
Exactly. You want that choice. But I'm not surprised that the DVD was probably only released in the unrated version. When I looked up the marketing for this film, it was very much geared towards, like, okay, for example, the FU poster and other things like that. There's one poster where it's just the two guys and they're staring up a cheerleader's skirt. And it was very much marketed to, like, that testosterone kind of sex comedy. Again, well, I'm talking about my version. While there was some of that, it really wasn't that. Like, it really had a plot that wasn't just, let's see girls naked, you know?
Right.
Maybe your version was, but at least my version wasn't. So I don't know if maybe people thinking that were let down. I'm not sure.
Sure.
That's most of what I see in terms of, like, the background of this film, like, marketed as this another one of these sex comedies.
Exactly. Like you say, certainly there is some of that, but it, you know, turns out to be, I would say, kind of more about the teamwork and the friendship. Mm-hmm. I mean, but of course you can't say that without, obviously, all the other stuff.
You can't market it as bromance.
Right. Yes. And I think it was also very much in that era where bromance was a thing that you would say, right?
True.
I mean, I'm thinking of other things that my grad school roommate and I went to. You know, I love you, man, being one of them, or Superbad was earlier, right? But still in this era. I mean, I think they were sort of jumping on to the back of the bromance, if you will, which is also a joke if your version had them naked cheerleading together.
It did.
Okay, good. Because otherwise, then that's just a very different movie. But yeah, I think that the way it was, the posters and the way that they showed it, it wouldn't be a movie I would have just gone to if it was only my choice. In the same way that people that I show it to are like, when I say, do you want to watch a high school movie where football players go to cheerleading camp? Most people that I'm friends with say, no, thank you, I'm good. And yet, there are moments that are delightful. I don't know. I'm really interested in what Kelsey has to say because we know each other from the wild feminist circles we run in. And
wild.
And so I was, of course, wanted Kelsey to be in this conversation because of her cheerleading background, which I just recently learned. But then I was like, oh, no, now Kelsey will know I really like this movie. And they might take my card.
I'm the holder of all the cards.
Exactly. I won't get into the secret meetings.
Yeah, I can't wait. A couple other notes production-wise. Oh, quickly, another marketing, I'll call it scheme, if you will, for this that they did, was they advertised it in certain posters and certain trailers as saying, this is not a cheerleading movie, which I don't understand because it really is a cheerleading movie. I know it has right. other elements. They were kind of trying to say like, oh, you know, guys can see this too. It's not Bring It On, guys, you know? And I was like, what? Like, it's just so odd. Like, I don't know why they would try to do that. I mean, I do know why, to make more money. It was just silly. I think the movie was marketed completely wrong. I will say, though, the director, Will Gluck.
Yeah.
This was his first film. He actually also wrote the film under a pseudonym of Freedom Jones for whatever reason. I couldn't find why.
Mm-hmm. But he's a for real director.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, he goes on to direct Easy A, which is awesome high school film. Then Friends with Benefits. Then he wrote and directed that Annie remake. And then he's done the last two Peter Rabbit films. Or he's going to do the new one. I think it doesn't come out yet. But point is, like, after this, the guy became like a, you know, a working director. He wasn't just like a one and done with Fired Up. I find that really interesting.
Good for him.
It's a name that I know. It's one that I had to look back up because I was like, oh, I know who Will Gluck is, but like, I need to remind myself. And certainly, yeah, Easy A is enjoyable and I think does a better job with some of the nuance that this film is lacking. I can see the similarity. I think they have kind of moments of subversity that are similar, just even in the way that the guy's friendship is such an important component of the movie, rather than, like you said, Brian, we understand they're hooking up and we see like a montage of them playing that sensitive guy role, but it's really like we don't see a lot of that in the movie, right? That quickly becomes kind of the background.
One of the most fun elements for me about this film is that they say, and again, we'll do deep dive, but they say that they're going to the camp for 2 weeks and it's a 3-week camp because of some dumb party or whatever. But they kind of forget about it. And right. I also forgot about it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And then they make the choice. I mean, I know we're getting far into it here, but they make the choice to stay. The reason they leave is because they're outed, in quotes.
Yeah.
But I think that also in a purely American Pie ripoff, sex comedy, whatever, I don't think they would have made that turn and gotten so enthusiastic about being part of the cheer team. I still don't think they are enthusiastic about cheerleading necessarily, but they really got into that team. And I like that.
quick chat about the cast.
Yes.
I wouldn't say there are too many like quote unquote A-listers in this film, but certainly some recognizable faces. So Sean was played by Nicholas D'Agosto. I guess that's how you pronounce his last name. Nicholas D'Agosto. Were any of you guys familiar with him?
Yes, he's on The Office.
Oh,
he's Hunter.
You're
on
right.
The Office. That's and other things. Yeah, honestly. Other things, but that's the main thing. Yeah.
He doesn't really have many lines on The Office, so I guess that's why I was kind of surprised that that was indeed Jan's assistant Hunter, but it was cool to see him in this. I definitely recognize Eric Christian Olsen more. He plays Nick. Not that I watch the show, but he is one of the stars of NCIS Los Angeles. No criticism if you do. I'm just saying I don't watch it.
I knew it was one of the NCISs, but I wasn't sure which one.
Because like I've definitely been watching other things and seeing commercials for it and be like, oh, that's that guy. He was in a film that's relevant to this podcast, not another teen movie. And he's been in a bunch of stuff. I can't, you know, off the top of my head, I can't really think. But like I've seen him for a while.
Oh, he was in Election.
He was.
Oh, he must have been background in that because he was so young.
Wow, that's cool.
I feel like he did a few things where he, that in that Not Another Teen Movie type of thing where he has, he's the like Sean William Scott knockoff.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So he has the same kind of wild face, if you will. And so he would be great in a Not Another Teen Movie, a scary movie. I want to say he was in, and I don't know, it may have been a straight to DVD or TV only, but there was this, some sort of Dumb and Dumber prequel.
Oh,
and
he was
one of them in that.
I forgot about that.
So I feel like he's kind of the guy you go to parody the dumb jock.
Oh. You're so right, too, that he is such a Sean William Scott knockoff. Because, like, not, I'm not criticizing him necessarily, but, like, you know.
No, I would rather hang out with him if I had the choice.
Studios wanted to replicate that American Pie thing.
Exactly.
And
yep. And I think that worked out well for him getting started so that then he could really show his talents on NCIS.
Hey, the dude's getting paid weekly. It's America's most watched network, apparently. So.
Oh.
Good for them. I don't know.
Good for them.
But one note I found out, and usually I talk about this like towards the end, but I have to mention it. It might set one of the records for this podcast. He was 31 when he filmed this movie.
Yikes. They were so old.
They're all so old.
So old.
Yeah.
For high schoolers.
They made a choice.
Not in general.
It's funny because the last time that we talked, Brian, we were talking about Perks of Being a Wallflower, where I felt like the many people in the cast were so believable as high school students, and this, they just went another way, and that was okay with me because they were kind of all on that level. Like, I understood they were all playing the teenagers that they had been a decade ago.
Yeah, we've kind of come to that consensus on this podcast. While it is weird when they, you know, look like they all have these like the guys have beards and stuff, and like they don't look like typical high schoolers, if you will. We've come to the consensus that if you're going to do that, at least make them all the same age and not have like a 15-year-old and a 31-year-old in the same shot and be like, you know, confuse us. So I guess they did it that way, but still, I did notice that. I for years did not realize that this was a high school movie. I thought it was a college movie. One, because of that FU promotion, I thought it was like, oh, university. Yeah. And I saw what the people looked like, and to me, they looked more like college people, but I guess, you know, it is a high school film, so we could talk
about
it.
That's true. You could easily put it into college, though, couldn't you?
Yeah, you make a really good point. Like, it's interesting that they chose to make this a high school film. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there'd be no reason not to.
Huh. That's a good call.
I'll talk to Will, see what we'll do for the reboot.
He's busy doing his Peter Rabbit thing. But
that's true.
I mean, to go from this to Peter Rabbit is hilarious, but I digress.
I think they're the same plot, actually.
That's what the sequel is going to be about. Peter Rabbit at cheer camp.
Or just Peter Rabbit getting his.
He is a rabbit. Oh, my God.
He is a rabbit. Exactly.
Okay, so Sarah Romar, I would say she's another lead. She plays Carly. Had you recognized her in anything?
No.
Neither had
I. Mean, I know her so well from this. But, but I don't believe I know her from other things. But I think she did fine. You know, I mean, I liked that her character was skeptical of them from the beginning. That she was like, she doesn't suffer fools. I liked that. And I liked her, but I don't know her from other things.
Yeah. Let's see. Who else did I notice from this cast? Yeah. Molly Sims plays Diora, I guess one of the coaches at the camp.
They keep calling her the head counselor, but then she does coaching. So that bothers me, but that's neither here nor there. and then the joke is that she's married to, is that Michael Higgins? There are three names, and Michael and Higgins are in there.
Yeah, John Michael Higgins.
John Michael Higgins. That they're married, and that's like the joke, because he's flamboyant, and that must mean that he's gay.
Yeah.
Is what I'm understanding the joke to be.
That one didn't age so well, we'll put it that way.
No, it doesn't age. I mean, let's say this. He is so talented. And
I love him.
And he plays that he can, like, I can't imagine being on set or for, like, for the big assembly of all the cheerleaders, like, holding a straight face for his shenanigans, because he's, you know, he's in all the Christopher Guest movies, like,
yeah, he's so good,
you know, he's a career improviser and is so great at being wacky. And so I don't want to fault him for the performance that leans so heavily on stereotypes. I will blame perhaps the direction he got or something, because I do think he was doing what he does well. It just, the joke constructed around it is not great.
I agree. I think kind of weird that at least at this time, enthusiasm is kind of seen as gay for some reason. Mm-hmm. Like, and I don't really understand it, but you're right. He does great in this role. I really liked him. I think he always stands out. And I'll say one thing, like, you reminded me of something. They definitely seemed like they had a lot of fun shooting this movie, and I think it comes through.
Absolutely. And if you watch any of the special features on the DVD, you can see just how much fun they had. My only...
Is there a blooper reel?
Trivia from that is that they were shooting next to or on land that's adjacent to protected area for peacock.
Really?
And I don't forget what state, if it was in California or somewhere else, but there's like peacock protection. And so they had to hold for audio for peacocks constantly. And so in the... there's a short little making of, but then also there's a gag reel, and just riddled in it as a in the background from peacocks that seemingly to be responding to like their dialogue. I mean, it looked like a barrel of laughs there on the set of Fired Up.
I'm so glad you watched it. I'm so glad you like gratified the filmmaker who made the behind the scenes for this, like, and that you could provide that insight. I'm really surprised. I'm really surprised they didn't like shoehorn a peacock into this film, because if you have,
they right, should have.
It seems like
so... Team Peacock.
Yes, or like walking through the competition suddenly. Hold for peacock.
So while I was running through the cast, someone mentioned Poppy.
Yeah, Juliet something.
Goglia, Goglia, something like that.
Yes, thank you. I know her from playing the precocious little sister in a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Whether it's not NCIS, it's another one with letters. CSI. I believe she's had a run on CSI as some sort of master manipulator, but like as a child.
Nice.
She was a precocious little sister on an episode of Veronica Mars. Like, she's done that shtick a lot. I mean, this was like to the nth power, but That was her shtick. And then Will Gluck, who was in, also did the Michael J. Fox show in the 2010s somewhere. And she was played one of Michael J. Fox's children on that show, too. So they must have formed a good working relationship, because he hired her again for that.
I loved her. She's one of my favorite characters in this. I don't know why. I think she steals some of the scenes that she's in. And
I agree. I think she also doesn't put up with their shenanigans.
Yeah.
I mean, she has her own shenanigans. And just like she's asking what they want, and then, you know, turns to the blonde one and says, another ride to the clinic. God, it's too much. Too much.
Yeah, I thought made she me laugh, was great. Two other people I put of note is Philip Baker Hall plays the coach, and he's not really a big character here, but Philip Baker Hall's a veteran of so many things, including a ton of Paul Thomas Anderson films. Mm-hmm. We've talked about him a lot on one of my other shows, P.S. I Love Hoffman, because he's in a ton of Philip Seymour Hoffman movies. Boogie Nights, Magnolia, Hard Eight he was the star of. And he's just been in so many other stuff. Zodiac, Argo, Truman Show, Talented Mr. Ripley. Like, he's done a lot.
Yeah, no, he's been in everything, it feels like.
It was surprising to see him in this, but again, he probably was on set for like 2 days, so good for him. Right. Got a paycheck.
Yeah, they didn't use him a lot, and for what they set up his character as, that was okay with me, but it's always, I don't know, I always do enjoy seeing him in things. Not everything in his career lines up with what I like to watch, so it's fun to see him in one of my silly movies.
Another person I recognized, she played Sylvia, and that's Margot Harshman.
Yes.
She's like one of my teenage crushes, believe it or not. I was so happy to see her in this.
I love it.
She was Tawny and Even Stevens. Mm-hmm. I think my freshman year of high school, so high school related story. You know how like when everyone had a website, not just like an Instagram, like people had websites. And, you know, you just type in people's names and, oh, there was a website and I did it with
her. There's a website.
Yeah. And she was like, oh, if you want to write fan mail, send it here.
No.
And I did. And I got a nice letter back with an autograph headshot. And I'm like, Marga Harshman, you're forever on my list. I hadn't thought about her in a while. God, I'm talking like she's an ex-girlfriend of mine. But no, I didn't mean it like that. Not in a creepy way, but I hadn't thought
about
her in a
while.
That's
awesome, though.
Yeah. And I'm like, you know what? Every time, you know, I see you in something, I'm going to shout you out because that was such a nice thing to do to like a dorky, pimple-faced freshman kid. So thank you, Margo Harshman.
That's a very nice thing to do. And I think she's the friend you remember in this, right?
Yeah.
Or the sidekick you remember, and the one that's not part of a problematic lesbian joke.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean,
she's,
thought she was
she's
awesome
outside
in this.
Of that. So she's my favorite side character. I just, real quick, also, the cheerleading coach.
Yes.
Clerg,
yes.
Ferris Bueller, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. I mean, she's, I think, similarly to the football coach in my mind, one of those people that I've seen in movies forever. And she calls her cheerleaders chickens. And I, when Kelsey and I worked at the same college, I called the students that I worked with my chickens. And this is why, Kelsey.
Oh.
Because she calls them chickens. And so it was in my head.
Wow.
I know. I've watched this movie too many times, y'all.
Deep cut into your own life. I love it.
I know.
She's in a lot of stuff that we talk about on this podcast. Like you said, Ferris Bueller. I think she's in Carrie. She's in this film we talked about called Airborne. I mean, I like her a lot. She always brings a smile to my face when I see her as well. Good call. I almost forgot to mention her. Anyone else, though, in the cast? I mean, there's a huge cast, obviously, but not a lot of familiar faces to me.
The only thing, just I think people younger than me would have clocked the leader of the Panthers. And now I'm missing her name, so I'm going to go back and look.
Annalyn McCord.
Thank you. Annalyn McCord, I believe, is famous because of the 90210 reboot.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I think that's what she's known for.
I think that's...
Oh, think yeah. That's... Okay.
So at the time this came out, that would have been someone familiar to folks as well.
Gotcha, yeah. Gotcha. I mean, that makes sense. She had a familiar face, so...
I did some Googling, and Heather Morris, who played Brittany on Glee, was a Panther cheerleader.
Oh.
Aw, that's fun.
I don't think she had any lines.
I don't remember that.
I didn't see her, but I believe you.
Was her name just Panther cheerleader?
Fiona.
Okay.
Another obscure name.
This is a movie where I don't think people's names are that important.
No. I don't even know which is Sean and which is the other one.
Yeah, like I Nick. Think you said it before, it's like the blonde guy and the not blonde yeah. guy.
Mm-hmm. Which I think they did a great job of hiring people that did not look similar. Sometimes that's the problem in these movies.
Oh yeah, that's the worst. Okay, so I mean, that's kind of the background on this film. Let's get into it. Let's talk about some favorite moments, not so favorite moments. The floor is for you guys. You're the cheer squad. Let's pep this up. Let's talk about it. Let's do this.
I truly want to hear from Kelsey first. I've talked enough already. Did you like it enough to have a favorite moment?
I didn't hate it. Coming from a perspective of someone who cheered, there were moments, obviously, that I'm like, oh my gosh, this wouldn't happen in real life. But sure. Besides those, like, they did a pretty good job about, like, getting their movements and their motions to not look horrible, which is the biggest pet peeve for me for most cheer movies, is that they're, like, sloppy motions. And so they did pretty good in that, and I was impressed. It definitely brought me back to my cheer camp days. We didn't really have competitions at the end. We competed for most spirited, which was a banana.
We won
inflatable banana.
Okay.
What?
Uh-huh.
Huh,
it's,
okay.
It's what happens.
I think this movie could have included most spirited. I think that would have been a nice addition.
Right. Here's your banana.
I mean, it is weird. You raise a good point, Kelsey, that I even found it weird that they're at cheer camp to get better. But and I know it's a silly movie and I know it doesn't matter. But the cheer camp ends with a competition on like ESPN or NBC. I forgot exactly right. What it was. And
this
it's like, whoa.
Huge thing.
We're a part of the state too, right? If they won, they got to go to the Illinois state. This was a regional competition.
Yeah, it's big odd.
Deal.
It's
odd. Yeah, it's one of those, they're trying to get too many things into this 3-week period.
It's like they had a premise for this cheer camp thing, but you can't have any kind of like even camp thing without having a competition at the end.
Yeah,
like
that's they just needed stakes.
Exactly, and that's what you have to do. It is what it is, but it was a little awkward.
I think my favorite small detail was how they got a guide when they arrived with pictures and interests of all the cheerleaders.
Oh my God.
I loved that.
Oh man. Yeah, that's good.
Stephanie likes puppies.
You didn't provide a headshot and fill out your interests?
I mean, maybe I should have. Maybe my dating in high school would have been better then.
Were there people of multiple gender identities at your cheer camp?
Yes.
Okay. So that part was reflective of high school cheerleading for you.
Yeah. Because there's different divisions. So there's large varsity, small varsity, there's co-ed, there's all women's. So there's different divisions. So one, the Panthers and the Tigers would not have been competing against each other.
Okay, that was a question I had for you.
Tell me why.
Because the Tiger team got men, so they would have been co-ed. But the Panthers team didn't have men on their squad.
At least I don't think so, right?
Did they?
Because when they were stretching toward the end and it was like, Panthers kill or whatever, like they were all partner stretching with boys.
I missed that.
But I think because of their ranking, they shouldn't have been competing against each other. At this camp, if one is the best and one is the worst, they shouldn't have been like head to head. That's why I thought they shouldn't.
Oh, it depends on your school size and then the genders on the squad.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. I am seeing guys here in some pictures. They're always put towards the back, though, until that stretching moment.
The all-important stretching.
Yeah, they don't get to talk, which I like.
They're very just like muscle guys. You know, they probably were actual cheerleaders because they don't have any lines. And from what you're saying, Kelsey, you said the moves were pretty decent for a film like this. So I'd imagine like I would cast extras who had cheer experience. That would make sense, right? I don't know.
I hope so.
For all those cheerleaders out there, we hope they had an opportunity to consult.
We need jobs.
It is a translatable skill. Okay, so I do have a question for you, Kelsey, because I'll tell you my favorite scene here. Because I'm doing this series on cheerleading films, it was definitely when they were sitting down watching Bring It On, and every single person in the camp was saying, I know it's silly, but whatever, like saying the movie like line for line in like perfect cadence.
Ever been to a cheerleading competition? Oh, you mean like a football game?
No, not a game. Those are like practices for us.
I'm talking about a tournament.
ESPN cameras all around. Hundreds of people in the crowd cheering.
Wait, people cheering. Cheerleaders?
You should be in the movies. You're hotter than all these cheerleaders rolled together. Cheerleaders rolled together.
I gotta take a Lewis Leakey.
Listen, you, don't get any cuter while I'm gone. I'm serious.
And let me give you a little tip from a cheerleader. Be aggressive. Be aggressive.
Boy, I love him. No, seriously, I love him.
I loved it because I just literally watched Bring It On like 2 weeks ago. I talked about it and it reminded me of so many other, like not just cheerleading, but like hockey players love the Mighty Ducks, for example. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, and I don't know. I'm missing examples right now, but is Bring It On the cornerstone cheer movie? And do cheerleaders know every line from it?
Yes and yes.
Oh, I was hoping you would say that.
I watched Bring It On probably at least once a week when I was cheering. And I wanted to be Torrance, but then I also wanted to be cool, like the other character. Whatever her name is.
Elijah.
I honestly don't remember this now. Elijah Dushku's character. Yeah, we know every line. The cheers, we can repeat that opening cheer word by word. It is our jam.
Oh, I love it.
Every time we say, these are spirit fingers.
These.
Yes. It is the perfect cheer movie. And I think one reason is because it started the conversation of, like, we need to take cheering seriously.
Oh.
It was one of the first movies that actually showed, like, what cheering should be and could be and is. They're out there throwing, like, really difficult skills and doing tumbling passes that nobody can do. Yeah. So I think that was, like, oh, we can find respect now.
I mean, that's a really, you know, that's a really cool point. I've talked about it in previous weeks on this cheer series. Cheerleading, I think, before, and probably Bring It On, but before a certain era, had a perception of just, like, bake cookies for the football team and wave the pom-poms and be excited. But, like, Bring It On, a lot of, and this film certainly as well, shows, like, wow, this is actually a sport in itself that not a lot of people can do. This film makes a really big point on saying, like, they didn't just throw, like, two out-of-shape schleps into cheer camp and then they picked it up and they were, like, amazing. Like, these were the top two athletes on the football team at their school. So it is, you know, somewhat translatable that they would not, like, I'm sure they would struggle. I'm not saying, like, that part's accurate, but my point is, like, they were athletes. They weren't just, like,
they were
two,
capable. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They, like, weren't two random people. So, I mean, you know, that's a really cool point. And yeah, it looks really hard. I'll put it that way.
Did appreciate that it wasn't like, we're going to take these two random people and turn them into
cheerleaders.
They weren't
going to, like, sneak into camp. Yeah.
Right. Right. They actually, like, they had to work on things, but they're also, like, they're strong. I appreciated that.
Yeah, like, it was feasible that they would even want them for the team, too. Like, it wasn't, they're really athletic, they're really strong, they have a role. We mentioned Superbad earlier, it wasn't like Michael Cera and Jonah Hill joining the cheer squad, you know?
That'd be a different movie. I agree, but what I think is not feasible is them as, like, key members of the football team being able to just decline football camp.
Oh, absolutely not.
Right? So that was where I was like, okay, it's a movie, it's a movie, because that was absurd. Although it is one of my favorite scenes. I think anytime the two, Nick and Sean, are together and they have their back and forth, like, that, they are my favorite thing about the movie. But one of the scenes I love is when Erik Christian-Olsen is explaining to the football coach why they can't go to football camp, and Sean doesn't know what he's going to say. And so, like, he's surprised at this whole dramatic speech about a birth father and and his spermless liar adopted father, like, this whole thing. You know, he's like, so I have to show up at Kaiser Permanente tomorrow and manage care. Funny. Never managed to care about me. Like, it's not funny, but it makes me laugh every time. That's a favorite. And then when they're cooking, when they are forced to leave and now are with the football players at the post-football camp destroy someone's big house party.
Yeah.
That they're in the kitchen making salad, right? And they hated all the food at cheer camp at the beginning, but now they know how to make a salad. And they're watching a commercial and Nick says, oh man, I wonder what she wants to do with her life. And that just, like, everything in their conversation shows their shift in focus because of their cheer experience. Now, again, riddled with objectification and stereotypes and all that. And yet, like, they are allowed, the characters in this movie, to make that turn and that transition and then go off to do the thing that now they feel, you know, called to do. I'm making it sound much more important than it is, but but they truly grow and change individually and in their friendship. And I think that's what I like. And then in the end, the football players are cheering them on too. Like, I don't know. There are parts that really get me on board and then they lose me.
It's something I said earlier on too, but that house party scene just reinforces that they want to be at camp. You mentioned it earlier that they get kicked out. They're not the ones who leave. And they don't want to be at camp because they want to continue their luck with the ladies there. It's because they just generally are enjoying that camaraderie and teamwork. I obviously, some of it is the dark-haired one, Sean. Obviously, some of it, the movie tells us, is Sean wanting to date Carly. But it's, you know, it's really about this team element. And again, I also love the juxtaposition of what they were doing athletically and coordination-wise mm-hmm. at the camp with what those, like, their idiot football player friends are doing, like, in the pool and around the house. And I love the image of that. I'll say that.
Yeah, it did a good job of showing us where our characters belong.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, floor is open. Any other moments, like, disliked, scenes?
One thing that gets me in this movie, but most other, like, cheer movies, is they are, you have 2 minutes on the mat to compete, and they have one thing, and they're like, we're going to change it
mid-routine.
Yeah. This is something we probably should practice for several months, and we're going to do it without communicating with the whole team. It'll be fine.
Yeah,
it's that just stresses me out. I once had to change a routine, like my position and what I was doing, like an hour before competition, and that was the most stressful thing I've ever done.
Wow!
So I can just only imagine what
it would be like to pull off the Fountain of Troy.
The Fountain of Troy. I was gonna say.
In Hinsdale, Illinois.
This team historically ranks last, like their name said president. Let's see if they stepped it up this year.
Hey, psst. Is this on TV? Dude, this can't be on TV. Don't worry. It's NBC. No one watches network television anymore.
Hey, look, it's Nick on TV cheerleading. It's Sean, too. They're cheerleaders. I thought those dudes were in the kitchen.
All you chumps think you got boys, you friends around.
Shit.
Like you really
my chickens.
Boys?
5, 6, 7, 8 Tigers! Hey, 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 hey. All right. Now let me hear you say, hey, hey, hey. I hate it when a guy doesn't get the door, even though I told him yesterday and the day before. I hate it when a guy doesn't get the tab and I have to put my money out and that looks bad.
Risky floor stunts, athletic tumbling, tight formations. Looks like the addition of those two new guys is really paying off.
Oh my god, that bitch!
It's not totally her fault.
He's talking about Dr. Dick.
I know it sucks, but don't let it distract you. We're gonna win this thing.
No, we're not, Sean. We're just not as good as the other squad.
Yeah, we are. And there's one way we can prove it. The Fountain of Troy!
Yeah, right!
I thought that move was prohibitive-mibitive-babitum. Remember John Lennon? Life's what happens when you're busy making other plans? Well, this is it. Life's happening.
It's not that easy, Sean.
I never said it was. You can do it. I know you can. I'll jump it with you.
But I still just don't see them qualifying for states. They are just not in the same league as the top teams here.
Who's gonna catch me?
Nick!
Who's gonna catch you?
Them.
Huh?
I have total faith in them. The Tigers.
But what if they don't?
Bet bigger go home, right? You gotta risk it to get the biscuit.
We're doing it. Are you sure?
We're doing a lot of talking during the routine. I mean, I'm new to this, but this seems like a lot of talking during the routine.
A lot of talking during the routine.
I'm the fountain. Sean base, Nick back, girls catch, Sean double back handspring to end it.
Got it.
Ready?
Think it is? Are the Tigers trying the Fountain of Troy?
This is the most dangerous move in cheerleading. OMG!
That's prohibidado. I told them in Spanish, how much clearer could I have been?
Here comes the build. Nice! An awesome flying pose!
Here comes the final fountain!
This moment?
Yes!
Perfect! And the final flip out?
Here it comes, and...
Fire!
fat little shit.
My chicken chant.
I could dream about that.
Which sounds like a sexual position.
Thank you. I thought the same thing.
I'm sure that's intended, and if not, well.
Oh, absolutely.
I loved, though, that they named it the Fountain of Troy, because it also, like, it sounded real, and it sounded like something that was taboo, or what did they say in this film?
Prohibitabo.
Yeah, prohibitabo. Yeah, I liked that. They were teasing it throughout the film. You knew it was going to happen. But yeah, it is crazy that just like they're whispering to each other, let's just do it. And but at least the film recognizes its silliness, that like they don't accomplish it and then suddenly win the entire competition.
Right.
Like, I did like that. This film seemed very aware of itself at certain moments, and it knew what it was, and I appreciated that.
I agree. Love this movie. One of the things that really bothers me, so they're all, you know, macking on all the ladies, but then kind of the larger love story is Sean, like you said, pursuing Carly, who has a boyfriend, which we have to talk about, and then Nick, the blonde one, is fascinated by the Molly Sims character, who's like head coach or whatever, and they keep calling her old, which I get that for high school students a 30-year-old person is old, but as someone proudly in their 30s, that hit me differently now than it did 10 years ago when I was like, hey now. And I'm disappointed in the movie that like it worked, and granted, the way they make that work is that it turns out his ledger, his little black book, is really poetry and is not a hit list. However, it's still, you know, she was like, you know, meet me after dark, wink, wink. And again, I don't know what happens during the credits of your version, but like they did meet in the credits of my version. Did that happen in yours?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did. It did. Okay. And then
they're interrupted.
Yeah, they're interrupted.
Still, yeah. Like the movie then truly makes her into what his fantasy of her was, which is she has a cheerleading uniform on and thinks he's amazing or whatever, you know. And so that, although there are many problematic things I could pick, that's going to be the one I choose to highlight here, that if indeed they're in high school, not only is that inappropriate, that might be illegal, right? That would make her a sexual predator. And I think they could have done something else with that, where she stayed true to her character at the beginning and wasn't like worn down by this cocky high school kid.
I agree with that. I thought that this plot line was just kind of supposed to be like a clone of like American Pie. Again, Sean William Scott with what's it called? It's Sean William Scott's mom. I forgot. But yeah,
oh,
you know, like, yeah,
Stifler's mom.
That was kind of like a running thing after American Pie. Like, ooh, the hot quote unquote older lady. However, I will say this. I think the film at times is making a lot of tongue-in-cheek references to itself. As I noted earlier, Eric Christian Olsen was 31, and he's like talking about being like a 30-year-old being old.
Being ancient and desperate.
Yes,
what
yes.
He said, just like exactly. I like him.
And I
that's
know,
what he
like,
said, not me.
Yes, quoting. Yes. But I know they did a lot of improv on set, and you know, there's a chance that he just said that because he was, you know, maybe it was a joke that he was so old in this film. There are a lot of moments, too. I think it's either one of the two guys says to, like, the girls, like, wow, you know, you could be actors in something, you know, or something like that. Like, there's a couple other moments where they're clearly breaking the fourth wall of what they're doing. And, you know, maybe I'm being optimistic, but I was hoping that that was that. That was, like, almost an in-joke of the film. Like, dude, you're 30. Right now.
I like that you're giving it that credit. I don't think that's what it was, but I'll choose to believe that. I think also, tell me where I'm wrong, wasn't Molly Sims like a supermodel in the early 90s?
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
So I feel like she represents a very particular like moment in our cultural understanding of what is sexy. And this was her, and while she has been in, my understanding, she's been in other films, she has an acting career, but that's why it was her playing it. You know, it's that Stacy's mom. It's that Stifler's mom. It's that MILF thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
It's also worth noting that Molly Sims is only 4 years older than Eric Christian Olsen. Yeah. And I think that can speak to how the men 30 years old playing high schoolers but about the same age of a woman is just this old MILF.
Right. Yeah, it's a really good point also.
Yeah. Double standards.
Double standards.
For sure. I mean, I don't know what standards anyone expected going into Fired Up, but it's
You're right.
It's definitely, you know, it's definitely an issue. Again, this movie has a lot of issues if we want to get into that.
Can we talk just for a minute about Dr. Rick?
Yes.
I love Dr. Rick.
Because David Walton is also an actor who's been in a lot of things. At this time, my understanding or my recollection is that kind of like an Eric Christian Olsen, he was sort of a knockoff handsome guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he does so well playing a douche that was his part a lot. We've seen since then, you know, he's led a show, right? He was the lead in the About a Boy series and then a ton of other things. But that's, you know, that was his show. He had a lot on New Girl, all kinds of other stuff. In real life, seems to be a good guy. He does this douchey thing so well. I mean, isn't he just like a crystallization of everything terrible about privileged white dudes?
Rick! Rick! Yay!
Who's the face eater?
Hey guys, come meet my boyfriend!
What is with that car?
Maybe you just won an LPGA tournament.
I miss you.
Oh, me too. Definitely.
Guys, this is my boyfriend.
Pre-fiancé, actually.
These are the guys I was telling you about, Nick and Sean.
What's up, guys? I'm Dr. Rick.
Really? Pound? Are you a little young to be a doctor?
He's pre-med at Illinois.
Then why do you call yourself doctor?
Why put off the inevitable? You should get that mole checked out. I do it myself, but I don't have my bag on me.
Your book bag?
How'd you two crazy kids meet, Rick?
It's a funny story, actually. Our parents knew each other from way back, and they introduced us.
Whew, not that funny a story, not really even a story, just like a fact.
Yep. We've been going out since I was a sophomore.
We should hit it, Carly. I told the guys we'd be done dinner in 45.
Oh, the guys are with you?
It was a long-ass drive, babe. You didn't want me falling asleep at the wheel, did you? Dink!
No, I'm glad you made it.
Yeah, you're glad. I got a resi at Red Lobster. We've got a booth in the back behind a plant, so no one can see how much we're all you can eating. If you know what I'm saying, boys.
Okay. Oh, Sean, I have something for you.
Pretty sweet deal you kids got going on here. Wish I could hang out, play all summer. I'm just a little busy picking my specialty.
Specialty? You're a freshman.
Your specialty should be putting a cow in the dean's office.
Animal House reference. Love it!
My mom sent mine, so I don't need yours anymore. Thanks.
Sure.
Oh, and Chief, next time if my girl needs something, she can borrow it from me.
Rick, he was just being nice.
I don't know, those feet look pretty small. What are they, like a 7?
10 and a half, Popo.
11 in Crocs.
Or am I wrong? Yes. Am I the only one who enjoyed his ridiculousness?
He was awesomely awful. Like his car, every song that plays when he pulls up is just glorious.
Yes.
Glorious. Like I forgot, like Mama Douche Number Rocks. 5. And yeah.
Yes. And all his abbreviations. I don't
his
know.
His insistence to call that he's Dr. Rick.
Oh, yes.
Brought me back to everyone.
I love that because I have my own pet peeve that way. And I've said it on my podcast. So if people are playing the drinking game, go ahead and take a shot here. It really annoys me when people who majored in film as undergraduates said they went to film school, right? Because that's different. So this is the exact same thing of that. He is a freshman. He's a bio major. If he's even been allowed to declare a major. And he's calling himself Dr. Rick. Ah!
It's ridiculous.
And the way that our two leads kind of play off of him, you know, and like, oh, yeah, you just look like such a dick to me. And the various kind of, you know, you're funny with your words. Yeah, I think he's a great, what do you call that? Not stooge. foil. He's a great foil for our sort of heroes who in another movie would all be in the same, you know, high-five and frat guy movie. Don't you think? Like, they are not that different from each other, except that our protagonists get to, like, learn lessons and have an arc.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't agree more. I mean, that's a really good point. They're cut from the same cloth,
yeah.
But they just make Dr. Rick so, like, you know, just talk Christopher Guest again. Like, the dial is turned up to 11 with him. In every such way, it's so ridiculous. But again, because it's aware of that, that it's awesome. Because no one can root for him. You can't like watch this movie and be like, oh, I want this guy to win. Like,
yeah,
they don't give you an inch of it, and that's totally fine with me.
Right. You're right. 100%. Sure, Carly can get together with Sean because he is so much better than Dr. Rick, who is irredeemable for us.
In every way, he's like. Not only is he, like, cheating on her, but he's, like, he goes to this random town and just finds random people to cheat on
her with. Like, oh, you know, gross.
It's just, like, any like, little room where he can be a bad person, he is a bad person. Just, like, a hateable person. But, yeah. No, I'm glad we brought him up. He was an interesting person in this film. Any other scenes or anything else you want to talk about?
Kelsey, is there something else problematic you want to bring up? I'm baiting you. I don't.
One thing, I think the two main characters were supposed to be the only straight dudes at the camp. Is that right?
I think they thought they were. And then, because the one guy has a girlfriend.
At one point, they said there was like three or four when they were like, but I don't know if we see everyone, you know, and we haven't talked about mascots yet, but mascots are in character the entire time, so.
Full immersion.
Which was great.
We really don't know, how they identify.
Mascot down.
Yeah, I like that. They certainly were the most active or on camera straight people, straight men in this film.
And we did have, so the other two male cheerleaders we meet are Brewster, who is a different over-stylized flamboyant caricature. However, and here's what I argued about in my house last night. Yes, all that is true, and I don't think there's nothing progressive about that character, except that his identity, his sexuality, was not part of a plot point in any way, right?
That's true.
Was gay, he said he was gay, you know, whatever else, but the way that him being kind of complicit in Dr. Rick getting them kicked out, all that kind of stuff, had nothing to do with his sexuality. And so if there's any way to give them a little bit of credit back, I think they're still in the red for terrible representation or misrepresentation. But I'm giving them an at least, it wasn't a plot point, like it ended up being with Downey, the other guy. That bums me out every time.
It's so unnecessary, that one.
Thank you. Yeah, agreed.
Shoehorned it there.
So if in the reboot, we'll just take that component out. We didn't need it. You said it. It's unnecessary.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the other part. I'm just like, when I show it to people, I always apologize for that because it's not okay.
Yeah, it's mirrored in Bianca and Angela, too. It's that whole, like, really ugly trope of, I don't know what it's called, but like, oh.
I mean, there's some gay panic in there.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I'm gay. Or like, oh, this character's gay, but they're doing it in secret and they're sneaking up on you and that's how it's going to happen. And it's like, whoa, like that.
Exactly. Yeah, that predatory sort of, I thought you were my friend, kind of. Even if in this case they mean it in a funny, cute way, it's still not okay. And when the one girl's in the other girl's bed and, you know, grabs her boob, like, that's not okay.
No. It feels really out of place. Well, I don't know about out of place because, it's fired up. But it feels like, to me, watching, like, ooh, why? Those two elements especially, they didn't even, I feel like, weave properly into the plot like they had to. Like, they're just, like, unnecessary.
So gags. I don't know. Is that them trying to fulfill whatever that, like, bro sex comedy idea was at the time? Because I agree, it seems out of place, but it also seems out of place because the three of us are not humored by it. You know, it may not have come so boldly to the forefront for other people. I don't know. I'm just trying to give sort of benefit of the doubt to other viewers, but it's certainly not why I watch this movie, and it is why I have to give caveats when I share it which I still do.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable. It's weird. If I'm trying to think back, like, on my quote-unquote studies in high school films on this podcast, yeah. In these bro-y movies, you certainly see it more with, like, two girls, but I don't know if that was played like that here. It wasn't like, oh, they're kissing. That's hot. Like, that wasn't really the joke, if that makes sense, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, it's not, I don't know. It was more like, haha, gay, you know, which is...
Right.
The worst.
Yeah, which it does seem out of place because they, even early on, like at the bonfire scene, the two main guys question that gay idea a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. And he's like, I mean, in a gross way. You know, he says somebody, I know the outtake version is, I could watch, was it Devil Wears Prada? I could watch something stereotypical with Nathan Lane in my blouse and still win a straight award. So again, it's not moving the discourse forward beyond stereotypes, but it is, they are pivoting from maybe the initial expectation of like, oh, gay, okay, I won't do it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Now I'm just excusing
myself. No, I know what you're saying, but I love it. Like that's the kind of passion that good podcasting is made of, so I appreciate it.
I'm happy to bring the passion to Fired Up. I'm going to add that to my resume. Oh my goodness.
Let's see what else I had notes on. I do have one criticism that's not like a, you know, social criticism. It's more just a structure criticism. I don't know. Maybe that's reading into it too much. I didn't think the stakes were that high when they were like busted for being like, oh, you're just there to hook up with the girls. You know, like, first of all, they say we know and they kind of like justify it, but then it's just, I don't know. I guess it's okay because they come back and it's not that big of a deal, but it didn't feel like they needed to be removed at that point because they had made so much progress in the team. Again, it really doesn't matter in this kind of film, I guess, but it didn't really feel earned when they were kicked out. It's just like they had to have this like come to Jesus moment, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like do you have an interview for the cheer squad and they just got to make sure you're in it for the right reasons.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. If the school had them on the roster, then what's the problem?
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. Interesting. I never thought about that.
That struck me as odd this time. I thought it was interesting how they had that staple sponsorship at the end. I don't know if that was a joke or that was an actual sponsorship, like to get the budget on the movie and they just shoehorned it in. Either way, I'm fine with it. I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah, it was funny that it, I think it worked with Poppy's character that she'd be wheeling and dealing, but then it made it that for sure this little regional competition was on TV. So it sort of fed into this, how big is this competition kind of deal? But yeah, it was funny.
I mean, other than that, we kind of talked about the ending.
Yeah, we've done a lot of good work here.
Yeah, I mean, this is probably the most anyone's truly dove into this film, and I love when that happens here, so I thank you guys for that. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
All right, so if there's nothing else to say with Fired Up, let's get into my traditional awards on the show.
Yes, there are awards and games, Kelsey.
Oh my gosh, I'm ready.
Well, first I wanted to mention that they brought up a couple of famous male cheerleaders, and I didn't know all this, and I looked it up, and I found a Mental Floss article, and I just want to go through the list quickly. I think they mentioned George W. Bush in the movie as, he was head cheerleader, apparently. Aaron Spelling, Jimmy Stewart, let's see, Dwight Eisenhower, Franklin Roosevelt, a lot of presidents, Samuel Jackson, Steve Martin, Trent Lott, Ronald Reagan, Kirk Douglas, and Michael Douglas, all were cheerleaders. And I mean, I think half that list, half that list was presidents too. So, I mean, I'm glad they brought that up. They brought a little history, a little knowledge into the film. So appreciate that.
Absolutely. I could see Steve Martin as a cheerleader.
That I could see for sure.
I could see Steve Martin as president.
Oh, amen.
That'd be cool.
Anything can happen, we've learned.
Very true. Very true. Okay, so first award I give out usually is the Wooderson Award, and that's named after Matthew McConaughey's character in Dazed and Confused. Famously, he was only supposed to be in one or two scenes with a couple lines, but he impressed director Richard Linklater so much that he included him more and more in the film, and you know, eventually he goes on to win an Academy Award. The rest is history. So the question I put out there is there a character in here that you would have liked to see more of, whether it be for, you know, screen time, storyline-wise, anyway, Who would you want to see more of in this film?
For me, I would say Angela.
Which one was Angela?
Angela was the, I guess we're going to say token black cheerleader.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yes, who had a positive body image. I really appreciated that. Mm. She was strong. I loved it.
Nice. I could have used more mascots.
Mascots? That's good.
I think there could have been an additional joke or two with mascots in it.
I think they could have developed like Angela and also my best friend, Margot Harshman, Sylvia.
Absolutely.
I think they could have developed, even though I loved seeing these characters, I would have loved more of them, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, the rival team, the Panthers, I really liked their like hand signs and what they, you know, what they would do there. I could get more Panthers in this too. I like your mascot take. Also, Poppy. Poppy's great in here, but
sure.
I can't get enough of Poppy. So there's a lot of candidates for that award in this film. Next award, Long Duk Dong Award. If you've seen 16 Candles, you know who Long Duk Dong is. It's a character whose omission in the film would make the film better. Is there anyone you would delete from this film?
I mean, in order to delete the Downey plotline, I would just delete Downey, I guess.
That's fair. I mean...
Yeah, I have to agree with you, Iceland.
Yeah, there's no... I mean, I think that's the best candidate.
Because with John Michael Higgins, like, he is so much fun to watch, and he is doing such a good job that, like, I don't think the movie would be better without him. I think the movie could have treated him differently, but it wouldn't have been better without him. Whereas, I just don't need Downey. You've got Brewster, you've got the mascot, you've got the other male cheerleader with a girlfriend who's been cheering with her forever. I didn't need another bunkmate.
No, but to me it was like so forgettable too. So,
sure,
the movie would not suffer from that deletion. That's for sure. Good call on that one. Okay, this is a weird one. The next award, the Cameron Frye Award, and that's Alan Ruck. Famously, was 30 years old playing a high schooler in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. However, we have already said that there's a character who's 31 in this. Who looked too old to be a high schooler?
I mean, certainly, yeah, both of the main guys, and then I would say all of the Panthers.
Yeah, I would say a good majority of the quote-unquote kids in the film definitely looked way old. Even Dr. Rick, I know he was not a freshman in college, you know.
No.
It's better that they're all around the same age, but it's still...
it's movie magic.
It's still kind of weird. Yeah, that's an easy one there. Okay, so Rotten Tomatoes, the critics were not happy with this one, to put it mildly. 25%. The audience was a little bit nicer, 52%. So that's the classic definition of you either like this movie or you don't like this movie. But you guys out there, you know, this is High School Slumber Party. We give out report cards here in high school, and they're from A+ to F. What grades will you give Fired Up?
I'm going to let Kelsey go first.
Kelsey?
I think I'm going to have to go with a solid D.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah. I think it passes, but it definitely won't be going on any Dean's list or principal's list. I think Dean's going to be generous.
Okay.
Honestly, I think this is a film that if it was a student would be happy with a D, just as long as it doesn't have to go to summer school. So I'm not going to hate on you for that.
Yeah.
Iceland?
I mean, this could be my nostalgia talking because I've you know, watched it so many times and it has such a place in my heart. I will give it a B.
A B?
Because I sincerely enjoy it and because I do find redeeming things in it, redeeming nuggets in it. Now, if we were on the podcast that Tobin and I do, The Contenders, it would not fare as well. But this is High School Slumber Party, so... I enjoy watching it. I think it is a very much a slumber party kind of movie. Mm-hmm. It's a, let's, you know, while we're doing something else. I've certainly watched it while, I'm such an old lady, while I've been quilting or doing other crafting projects. You know, it's easy to put on in the background and enjoyable that way. So I, despite all the things, and I agree there are terrible things in it, I give it a B.
A B. Nice. You know, that's higher than the consensus, but I'm happy you gave it that. I hate when people come on this show bring something, like they really enjoy it, they defend it. Not again, you were very fair. I'm not saying that, but and then they come on and don't give it a good grade because they're too embarrassed. You stood up for sure. Fired Up, and I appreciate that. I like that. I like your enthusiasm.
Someone's got to.
I am fired up. Exactly. What can I say?
You would do well at cheer camp.
I don't know about that. I'd need some pointers from Kelsey first. I was a band nerd, so I had my own camp.
Very true. So I gave this movie a solid C. I thought that was generous, but it had some good ideas. But those ideas maybe needed to be developed and exchanged for other ideas. I had fun watching it. I understand that it was problematic, but I had a good time. And there was some stuff, like I said, I really appreciated. I liked the sport element of it. I like how it wasn't that sex romp that, like, 2000, whatever that decade's called, the noughties or something.
The aughts?
The aughts, yeah.
Oh, like the naughty aughts? Is that what we call it?
Some people call it that. I've seen the internet.
Oh, that's fun.
Well, yeah. It wasn't that like aughts, like pure, you know, sex comedy. It was a little bit smarter than that. And at the end of the day, it's for someone... Maybe for a teenager, it's harmful. But for me, I feel like it was relatively harmless to watch. And, you know, so C, teetering on that C+, but solid C. We all passed it, and that's all that's important. All right. So this is one of my favorite questions every week. It's, what sleeping bag would you bring to high school slumber party? And normally, you got to theme it with either something, you know, something related to the film, whether it be cheerleading or Fired Up itself. So, Iceland, since you're the veteran of the show, why don't you go first? What would your sleeping bag look like that you'd be bringing to this high school slumber party today?
Oh, interesting. I mean, I just think it would have to be spirited. And since we had brand new uniforms at the end of the film, I would say a brand new Tigers sleeping bag. That maybe had that that faux fur that was on their shoulders on the inside.
I liked that.
So it was snuggly, but enough with like the zippers and things that had the tassels like they had in their hair.
Ooh.
So I think just reflecting the new uniforms back.
Love it. Love it. Kelsey?
So a tradition that we had in high school is that we would always bring a tie blanket to our competitions that matched our uniforms.
Nice.
So I had a purple and white one and a black and purple one.
Oh, I like it.
And so I would have made one that matched our uniforms.
Love it. So good. Oh, relating to the movie, related to your high school experience. Perfect. Good grades all around, everyone. Okay, so next question, if you will, is called Rent Two Movies, Get One Free. The three of us are walking into our local video store, whether it be a Blockbuster or maybe we're supporting a local chain today, who knows, and these still exist. We've rented Fired Up for our slumber party, and since we have two guests today, each of you will get to pick one other movie that we will watch at our slumber party that we're going to rent in our Rent to Get One Free deal.
I mean, I feel like Bring It On is an obvious choice.
Oh, obviously, yes.
So I don't know. I don't want to steal it from you, Kelsey, if that was your answer. But we could work collaboratively on our two. What would be another? Oh, yes. Okay, I got it.
Yes.
Bring It On. But I'm a cheerleader.
Yes.
Both movies in our series. Both movies I enjoyed watching. You know, can't argue with that. I think we're going to have a fun, spirited slumber party. I mean,
we sort of go from not serious, but like earnest to satirical.
I love it. Sandwich, Bring It On in there.
And yes. Well, that's what I was going to say is the most earnest of the three.
Oh.
And then.
Not Fired Up? Huh.
No, I put Fired Up in the middle. But then also, I think But I'm a Cheerleader kind of pulls at some of the strings that the other two, but particularly Fired Up, leave hanging around identity and expression and that kind of stuff.
I like it. This was a blast. I enjoyed talking about this film. Again, ultimately, I enjoyed watching the film. It was, again, my first watch. It was fun. It definitely fits in with the cheer milieu. And And, you know, it was a blast. And it was nice talking to you for the first time, Kelsey. And Aislinn, it was nice having you on again. If you want people to follow you or update them on theoretically what you're up to, this is the chance to do that before we say our goodbyes.
I don't have any social media, so.
So Kelsey is a mystery. But if you want to get a message to Kelsey, you could tweet at me. I'm at SassyNerdMT. Or if you're interested in the other podcast that I do with my brother Tobin, that's The Contenders. You can find us on cageclub.me with all of Cage Club's fine, fine offerings, including High School Slumber Party. So if you found this, that means you know how to find Cage Club material. So check us out there.
Thanks again. This was an absolute blast. And, you know, looking forward to having both of you on again sometime.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Brian.
I can't thank Kelsey and Aislinn enough. That was super fun. It was super cool to have a cheerleader on. Ugh, awesome. Awesome. Cheer Mondays have been a success in my book. And my book's the only book that matters, of course, because I run High School Slumber Party. And just like Aislinn said, the Cage Club Podcast Network is awesome. It's the home of so many other great shows, like her show, The Contenders, and like a bunch of other shows, shows I host as well, like P.S. I Love Hoffman. You'll hear me sometimes on Too Fast, Too Forever, as they have me as a guest often. Or how about Third Time's a Charm, hosted by Mike Manzi? I'm on that show a lot, too. And if you're sick of me, there's plenty of shows that don't feature me as well. And of course, you could always check us out on whatever platform you're listening to us right now, whether that be Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Google Play. And while you're there, give us a nice little 5-star rating. Give us a perfect, perfect review. And help High School Slumber Party any way you can, specifically by telling a friend who you think might be interested about High School Slumber Party. And the beat goes on, right? The beat goes on. Oh, yeah. And as the beat goes on, you know that we're twice weekly these days during quarantine. Don't know how long I'm going to be able to pull this off, but I'm trying. At least through the summer. But here we go. You still have homework. You can't skirt away from homework. And this homework is for Friday's episode. The film, well, I said I'd mention her again. The guest is Kate Hudson. And the film, of course, is the next edition of our Twilight Forever series. And that's Twilight Eclipse.
Jacob, what are you doing?
I'm here to warn you.
Just leave now. She has a right to know.
What?
We've been tracking the situation in Seattle for a while. Unexplained disappearances. Killings.
Someone's creating an army.
An army of vampires? They're coming here.
This is an ugly fight with lives lost. We're in. As long as we get to kill some vampires.
It's time.
Yes, it is.
So I hope you're ready to get your Jacob on. I hope you're ready to get your Bella on. I hope you're ready to get your Edward on. I almost forgot his name. I was going to say, I hope you're ready to get your Robert Pattinson on. You get it. You get it. Can't wait for it. Twilight Eclipse. And that's on Friday. And thank you all for tuning in this week. Appreciate it. Hope you're staying happy and healthy. Hope you're doing well as you can be in this scary, scary, scary world. So, looks like it's time for bed. Looks like it's time to crawl into those sleeping bags and get your slumber party on. Or, I don't know. I guess it's still a party when you're sleeping, right? That sounded weird. Anyway, remember, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop to look around once in a while, you could miss it. let's leave you with another song from Dr. Rick's awesome playlist, and that's Chumbawamba's Tub Thumping. Class dismissed.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.